Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa Enoch D. Berry, a licensed clinical addiction specialist, owner and operator of Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington. Responses to this show. We're located at 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC. 28206 or 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. The phone numbers are 704-333-2446, 336-675-0075, or 704-807-2181. You are welcome to email us at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com, and our website is trinitycounselingcharlotte.com. If you go to the website, you're able to see the program information, some of our services that we offer, classes that we offer, and resources that are available in the community, as well as the link to the radio program and information about what it is as a substance abuse professional, some other services that we provide. If you would like to call in number is 347-945-5924, and the number is area code 347-945-5924. We just want to thank God for giving us the opportunity to come together one more time. Thank you for his wisdom, knowledge, and instruction, and thank you for keeping us safe as we go throughout our day. Now, this week's topic is New Year's resolutions. Last week, we were talking about just the whole idea of vision boards and bucket lists and making the decision about things that we want to do or change. And this week we want to again explore a little further about the New Year's resolutions that people make. It says each year nearly 50% of Americans vow to change their behavior. January 1st, including resolving to lose weight, getting more organized, or falling in love. It says just 8% achieve their New Year's resolutions. And so that's an interesting number, and I wanted to consider what would be some of the reasons and the causes for that. Let's see. What are the reasons and some of the myths that are mentioned that offer explanation as to why it says a quarter of people give up after their first week? These include having a lack of willpower, that different apps can change behavior. They have different apps for weight loss and monitoring heart rate, things like that. The number three is it takes 21 days to form a new habit, and that comes from an individual who had written about back in the 70s or the 80s, and it was talking about how you form a new habit. You have to do something 21 days, and it forms a new habit. And then number four, the best way to change a habit is to set realistic goals. And then number five, learning about the benefits of new habits helps change our behavior. The same article where this information comes from, it says that research has shown that change in knowledge and intentions does not translate into change in habits. And when it made that statement, I, as a cognitive behavioral therapist, I considered what does that mean, treating individuals, because it says, as the cognitive behavioral says, what you think and how you feel affects the things you do. So if you're thinking that you want to lose weight and you're feeling insecure about how you look, then you'll naturally do the things that you need to do in order to lose the weight. And so when you apply that same idea with having a lack of willpower, it's almost as if your thoughts and your feelings, you might feel insecure about your weight, but if you become comfortable in it, then quite naturally that's going to overrule the thought that you need to eat healthy, and then you're not going to diet or do whatever you need to do that. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to put forth the effort necessary in order to utilize the apps. You have apps on your phone that you probably don't use. You don't know you have them because you don't use them. And so if you have an app that monitors your heart rate and you don't use it, if you have any kind of a smartphone, that smartphone has an app on it where it monitors the amount of steps that you take on a daily basis. And if you don't click on it, you won't even acknowledge that you the steps that you take and needing to have more. Also, if you have been eating the same way for years, so you greater than 21 days in forming that habit, then it's going to take a lot longer. Those years are going to be needed in order to change the behaviors that you've created. So the best way to change a habit is to set realistic goals. If you have a goal of being 100 pounds lighter, that may not be as realistic as possible because if you're not thinking through the amount of time that's going to be needed into losing that 100 pounds and then learning about the benefits. If you've lived your life a certain way and there's not been anything detrimental that has happened, then you're not going to consider that there may be a benefit because you haven't had any opposite of benefit liability that goes against the things that you've done as far as your weight goes. And so, with all that to be said, I wasn't ready this morning. I looked up the word resolution, and I thought it was an interesting statement. Let me try to do that. We always look into the Serenity Bible, and it says, well, what are some of the things that people might resolve to change their behaviors in? And we always go to the catalog of addictive agents, things that you might have addictions to or things you might do too much of. There are 18 of them. You have alcohol or drugs. You have work, achievement, and success. You have money, addictions such as overspending, gambling, and hoarding. You have control addictions, such as a surface and personal, sexual, family, and business relationship, food addiction, sexual addiction, approval dependency, rescuing patterns towards other persons, dependency on toxic relationships that are damaging and hurtful, physical illness, exercise and physical conditioning, cosmetic clothes, cosmetic surgery, academic pursuits, excessive intellectualizing, religiosity, religious legalism, general perfectionism, cleaning and avoiding contaminations, other obsessive compulsive symptoms like going back to hoarding, and materialism. And from this, it says that depending on the past, the family, things like that, it states that in order to heal or in order to change behavior, because our healing must progress across several dimensions. We have to heal our human relationship. That means healing both past painful memories from the dysfunctional family of origin and our contemporary relationships as well. Choosing a recovery family, that's a support group, a 12-step group, church community. We need a new, healthy, chosen family, not joining a family that's sick again. And then we need to rejoin and grow closer to God in the spiritual family, both the church and recovery groups such as AA, Overeaters Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous. And it says that this is from a 12-step book. So when we are considering changing a behavior, we have to look at our powerlessness over the things that have caused our lives to become unmanageable, that has caused our thoughts to change. The step two part of that is coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us. The step three about that is making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And then we always stop at number four, which is states that we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So when I was considering this topic of resolution, I looked up the word resolution, but I didn't look up resolution. I looked up the word resolve. That's the root word of resolution. And the definition of resolve, it states, find an answer or solution to something, to settle something, to make a definite and serious decision to do something or to make a formal decision about something, because usually by a vote. And then it goes into resolve. It's the full definition of that is to cause a resolution of a, and it has a pathological state in parentheses. It also has to deal with successfully, clear up, to find an answer, to make clear or understandable, to find a solution, to split it up into two or more components. There's another definition of resolve, which states to reach a firm decision about something. So you declare it and decide it, and then you make progress from dissonance to consonance, which means instead of things disagreeing, things begin to agree. And when you think about the definition, the root word of resolution, to resolve something, that means, number one, you have to break it up into parts. So since that research has shown that change in knowledge and intention does not translate into change in habits, then we have to consider that changing the knowledge and intentions is not going to be enough. You must also have to resolve or break the thing up, separate it, distinguish or between or make independent these parts. And so when you're thinking about organizing, then you need to break that into parts. Organizing what? Organizing your home, organizing your work, organizing your school. And then even when you get to that aspect, are you organizing your files? Are you organizing your time, things that need to be organized? And then it says to cause the resolution of a pathological state. The first step, admitting that powerless over our lives and things that cause our lives to become unmanageable, you may have to admit that when you make the resolution, that the things that you want to change have almost become things that are in your life that are unmanageable, things that need to be done differently, things that you want to do different. The unmanageability, things that cause problems in your life. If you're being unorganized, it causes problems. You might want to change that. If your failure to organize your time has caused you to miss out on things, you may want to change that. If your maintenance of money, your budgeting, has caused your problems in your life, you may want to change that. Because changing your knowledge is not going to change the things to do. You have to actually demonize them, if you will, and say that these things have caused wrong aspects of my life and not and I have not been healthy and have not been helpful. And so you want to break those things up. You might, and that's why we stop at the step four, which makes a fearless and moral inventory, sitting down, and things that you know that you need to do differently will help you to fulfill your resolutions, because then it will help you to move into making a resolving it, which looks at the second, the fourth definition or fifth definition, to deal with successfully, to clear up. You want to resolve your doubts, resolve a dispute. You want to find an answer. So you have to ask a question and then find an answer to it. Like, what about my life is am I able to wear the clothes that I want to wear? If I'm heavier and I want to wear small things, then I may need to address that. It doesn't have anything to do with healthy lifestyle or eating healthy. But if you want to look better in your clothes, then you think, this is what I need to do in order to do that. And then you'll begin to concentrate on the things you need to do in order to fulfill that desire. That's resolving that in your mind, or deciding that that's, and then making a firm decision about it. Resolve to get more sleep. That's a firm decision. I mean, instead of watching every show until they end, turning it off, putting on DVR, doing whatever you need to do, or just saying it's not important that I watch it anyway. And then moves into declaring or deciding by a formal resolution and vote, which goes back to our conversation that we had on last week talking about a vision board. A vision board is taking the dream out of the air and putting it on a piece of paper or on a cardboard or in your computer or in your phone or somewhere as a hard copy, so that you have basically signed an agreement with yourself that you're going to begin to focus on division and not just the day-to-day. You do the day-to-day, but you also are walking towards something. You're not just wandering aimless as you go through. And that's deciding and declaring by a formal resolution and a vote. You're agreeing with yourself. If you read the book, The Secret, or you listen to anything about positive intentions or law of attraction, it all says the exact same thing. So, yeah, it's good to focus your mind on that. But it also says that, you know, putting a picture up and begin to concentrate on that, that's a hard actual visual, this is what you want to do. So you agree with yourself that you're going to do it, and then you begin to walk towards it. And so then when things come up, you don't lose sight of the decision that you've made. You continue to maintain focus on that. And that leads us into to make progress from dissonance to consonance. Dissonance is a psychological term. Basically, it says if you say you want to lose weight, then you go and eat pizza. That's dissonance. Because that's not in agreement. The consonance is say you want to lose weight, and instead of the pizza, you eat carrots. Then that's consonance. That means that you are actually doing that thing that you said you were going to do. So it goes back to, doesn't have anything that people, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, licensed person, and listen to people, I don't want to drink, don't want to use, don't want to do this, don't want to do that. And that's all well and good. I got the willpower to do this, that, and the third. And I'm saying, if you have the willpower to do that, then what happens? If you don't have to drink, if you have to say to yourself that you don't have to drink, then you've lost control already. Because you wouldn't have to argue with yourself and say that you don't need this thing or that thing if it doesn't have control over you, in order for you to have to defend it and say you don't need it. So willpower has absolutely nothing to do with any choice or any decision. God did give us free will to make my choices and decisions, and so we can't ever say this happened or God allowed it or whatever. God did. He did allow it. He allowed it from the very beginning. When Adam decided he wanted to eat the tree and had been told otherwise, you always know the difference, right or wrong. When anybody tells you it or not, you turn to sense it. Of course, then when you think about pathological things and people that make bad decisions, that they still don't do it just because that's innate. They do it because it may have been allowed to be able to get away with it, or it has been created and then they proceed forward. So willpower doesn't have anything to do with not doing or doing something. And if you have resources that are available to you, say, well, I didn't know. Well, it says you also see and you will find. You don't know, you ask, and that information will be brought to you. And if you ask the right questions, if you have an app and you ask the right question, well, is there something on my phone that monitors the steps that I take? Then you'll begin to determine whether that is, and then you'll find something that'll work for that. So that stays with what it says with the resolution to this article. But also there is a scriptural basis for, and I think I wrote this on LinkedIn, so I found in Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Many times when you hear that one scripture that is read, the now faith, you would read it as a comma, now comma faith, which means now, like we're having a conversation, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But when you read it and through the scripture and you look at it, there's no comma there. So that means now faith, that's today's faith, that's right now faith, is the substance of things hoped for. What is it that you know that you want? What are you resolving? What resolution do you want to make? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you don't see it, and then it goes further. But when we read this scripture, and as I was preparing for today, it says, you go down, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those are all action statements. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. But in order to please him, he said, you must believe, that means that's your thought, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means you actually have to do something. You don't just, things don't just happen. You actually have to do. And if you continue to read throughout Hebrews, and it says, not in Hebrews, but in there's a verse that says, faith without works is dead. And it says, and works. So works to do what? Well, then if you read it that way, and it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So God created it. He worked. He worked. And how do we know he worked? Because when you read Genesis, he worked, he created. He used action words. He used words like created, the heaven and the earth. He used words like he gave Adam the job of naming. He gave Adam a job of naming all the animals. Well, that was work, because you have people that are dedicated their whole lives to the study of animals. And they continue to find different ones, and that means that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that's put into naming things. You know, thinking about name is not work, but it is work, because you have to name the things and give it its characteristics and decide if that's a good name for it. And then it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Offered. That's another action statement. By faith, Enoch was translated, so he didn't see death and was not found because God had translated him. Translation to the word, he actually moved him. So that's another work statement. So when you think about resolutions and making resolves, it is true. It seems to me that the problem in fulfilling resolution appears rooted in the lack of understanding of the word that creates the action. Thoughts are good, feelings are good, but it is the things that you do. So you have to actually do something, and you have to actually, you know, you can identify the things that you want to change. Those are nouns. You have to identify those. That's the subject. And then you have to do the thing in order to get there. And that's just not going to happen unless you make a conscious decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him. It says you also have to complete a moral inventory, which means that's work, because you might have to go out and ask people different questions. You also might have to, what else you might have to do? You might have to set, are tempting. You might have to remove yourself from individuals that are not good for you. Let's see what else. You may have to make your plans better. You may have to adjust your time. You may have to. There's going to be things that you're going to have to do. So the feeling like change is necessary for the thought of change, but it's the doing that causes the change, and that is what will help you to fulfill the resolutions and to make the fulfill the resolve that you have made to do the changes for 2016. So welcome individuals that have programs that are available, resources that are available in the community that will help individuals fulfill the things that they desire to do as far as work goes. There's a financial workshop that's going to be hosted on January the 23rd that is available. You can get out on Eventbrite. That's going to be in Charlotte, and it's going to work in helping people to decide about their finances. Next week, we will host an interview with the individual that is hosting that so that they can tell us a little bit more about the program. Asha is going to be there to do that. And then we'll move into looking at things as far as financial health, spiritual health, and diet and exercise. Again, my name is Melissa. Again, if you want to contact me about any problem you have, you can do so at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. And we just want to thank God for allowing us to come together this morning. And we look forward to wrapping up our week Saturday morning, 8 to 8:15. And we wish everybody well. Have a good morning. Thank you.